All right, I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. It is a desire of mine as a preacher to seek to work through as much of the scriptures as I can, and as well as it's fitting to do so. Spending time in the Gospels, I believe, is just so very fruitful. I've had the privilege, and together with you, we've gone through the Gospel of John together, and that was several years ago. And I think it's time for us to embrace on another journey through the life of Jesus. And I'd like to do that through the eyes of Luke. If you're like me, things of this magnitude can be very intimidating. I know that many times these kinds of things can become long and laborious, and that's not my intention, but I do want to give the Word of God opportunity to speak into our life as much as possible, and I trust you are patient with that as well. So, the Gospel of Luke, there are some unique things to consider with the Gospel of Luke as we spend time in it, and I want to talk about some of those things tonight. The Gospel of Luke has, by many scholars' opinions, a Gentile mind, or a Gentile audience in mind, I should say. Why is that important to understand? Well, I'm excited because I'm a Gentile, and so I can really relate with Luke, and yet doesn't mean I can't relate with the other Gospels. But Luke is writing so that the audience of the Gentiles during that first century would have an understanding of Jesus. Why is this believed? Let me give you a couple points that I pulled from a commentary that I found very helpful, Bible Knowledge Commentary. Just two volumes, but it's a great resource. First of all, Luke explains Jewish localities, whereas other Gospels don't necessarily go into the depths of what certain localities are, where Luke describes what those are because Gentiles weren't necessarily familiar with Palestine. And so he tries to explain those things in greater detail so the audience has a better understanding of it. So you can come to expect a good description of Palestine and the ministries of Jesus as far as localities are concerned. What Luke does also is he traces Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Adam. Matthew, who had a Jewish audience in mind, traces it back to Abraham. So let's talk about what's the significance of that. Well, the Jews look at Abraham as their father. And so it's really key to see how Jesus is connected to Abraham. And so that is all Matthew needed to do for his audience. Well, Luke, speaking to Gentiles, takes it all the way back to Adam, helping the audience, helping us today to understand, to realize, you know what, Jesus is really for all mankind. The Gentiles were not necessarily as familiar with the Abrahamic covenant that was given to the Lord's people. Keep in mind, they weren't necessarily as familiar with the Jewish scriptures like the Jews were. I mean, there's a big distinction, especially in the first century, not so much today, because in our churches we study the entire Bible. But in the first century, the Jews were brought up in the scriptures being the Old Testament. And so they had a very familiar mindset and understanding of God and what He's done for His people. But Gentiles, on the other hand, they didn't spend time in the Jewish scriptures. Why? Why? That was not a part of their life and didn't mean much to them as far as literature was concerned until they came to know the Lord. Until they came to Christ. And then you see the Old Testament scriptures becoming meaningful, and those things are then taught. And that's part of my responsibility for us, for me as a pastor, is to help you see the unity of the Bible, the Old Testament being the foundation for the New, and to build up in our primarily Gentile minds. Some of you may be Jewish here tonight. I might be missing that, but nevertheless, to build up in our primarily Jewish minds a whole understanding of the Scriptures, Old Testament and New. So, Luke also uses the, as far as timelines are concerned, he uses the Roman emperors and when they reign to help designate the time of Jesus' birth, for example, and also the time of John the Baptist's preaching. Luke, when he quotes from the Old Testament, he quotes from the Greek translation of the Hebrew text, which is called the Septuagint. So I'm doing some teaching here as well. Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So the Old Testament was primarily written in Hebrew. A few parts were written in Aramaic. Around 200 BC, or around that era, it was translated into Greek. And that is called the Septuagint. And it is believed that Luke, anytime he quotes from the Old Testament, he quotes from that document. The Septuagint is not necessarily an inspired document, by the way, but it is a very good translation and a good check for our translations today because it is so, so near to the original writings. Also, we see that Luke's gospel does not emphasize Jesus' fulfillment of prophecy. And you can understand why. Where were the prophecies given? In the Old Testament. The Gentiles were not familiar with the Old Testament. We're not familiar with the prophecies of Isaiah or Jeremiah, as much as a Jew would have been. So Luke doesn't necessarily make a big deal about that because the Gentiles were unfamiliar with those prophecies. Does that make those things any less important? No. But it helps us as we embark on this study of Luke to understand why he handles things and the accounts as he does. This is going to be different. And have you ever stopped to ask, why do we have four Gospels? Why is that necessary? In fact, it's interesting. There is a writing out there called The Harmony of the Gospels. There's another one called The Merged Gospels. And what these are these people's attempts to take the four Gospels and put them into one continuous flowing story. I respect their work, and they are helpful for research. But God had a specific intention in allowing there to be four Gospels. Specific audiences in mind and different emphasis along Jesus' life. And we can learn from each one of them. Will we, Lord willing, spend time in the book of Matthew? Yes. Why? Because it's going to be important to understand the Jewishness of Jesus and understand all of that how it connects with the Old Testament. And to help us understand that so much of the Bible is Jewish. So much of it. So we do ourselves good to understand a Jewish mind. I want to just, you're at Luke chapter 1. Look with me at Luke 1, verses 1 through 4. We read this, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things wherein thou hast been instructed. That's the introduction. What can we learn from just these words? I believe there's some important things here. Notice that the careful description you see here. I mean, even though we're reading an English translation here, you can discern and you can get that this man knows how to put things in order. And that's important to him. Now, the Bible is written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, but it is fascinating, and you have to agree, or you don't have to agree with me, but I hope you see this, that as you read through the Bible, there's some differences in the way it's communicated, and God makes use of these individuals and their personalities as He puts forth His Word through them. Luke is writing as an historian. I mean, your history books, your historians that you read, they're very careful, aren't they? The dates and the order of events and the details are important. And this is the way Luke is approaching the life of Jesus. Just a couple phrases here. Verse 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration, or you could say a narrative of those things which are most surely believed among us. I mean, who would say that? I mean, but somebody who really cares about making sure this is exactly the way it ought to be. Notice making mention of eyewitnesses in verse 2. Notice in verse 3, of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order. We also understand that this is not Luke's only writing. The Gospel of Luke is the first of two volumes. I read one place that the writings of Luke comprise 28% of the New Testament, a significant portion of the New Testament Luke wrote. Two volumes. The second volume is the book of Acts. Just turn briefly back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And if you were to place assign the books of the New Testament to categories, what category would you assign the book of Acts? The book of what? It'd be a book of history, and specifically the history of the early church. And Luke happens to be the writer. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And thus he begins his narrative, and what he does is overlap the ending of Luke with the beginning of Acts, at the same time providing different information in the book of Acts he did not include in the book of Luke. So he's written with a Gentile audience in mind, written from a historian's point of view, written as the first of two volumes. Now listen to this. Luke is writing as a firm believer in Jesus Christ. Back to Luke chapter 1. Notice the pronouns here. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among whom? Us. Us. So who does that include? It includes Luke. Who else might it include? Theophilus. Notice what he says. Most surely believed. Most surely believed. It is mentioned in the New Testament that Luke was a physician. He is also commonly considered a Gentile himself. It is not known but doubtful that he was an eyewitness of Jesus and spent time with him. It's doubtful that he had that privilege, but it is true that he spent time with those who did. Mentioning eyewitnesses here, ministers of the word, he spent time with them, he heard the accounts. It is very likely, being an historian, that he did interviews, right? Knowing that he had this call upon his heart to write this history, he would pursue after a Mary. Some have even surmised that perhaps he was part of the disciples, or not the disciples, but the early church as it began, spending time with them. So he would have rubbed shoulders with those who would have walked with Jesus. So he's a firm believer. Now, that is important because what it does is it helps us to have a firm trust in what he has to share. And understanding that the Spirit of God writes the Scriptures, the Scriptures are under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, helps us realize that Luke is not just writing with this bias of, I'm a Christian and I'm going to make sure that you become one too, but that he is a believer in what he is writing, but in the Holy Spirit is the check, because we know the Holy Spirit is the guide in this writing process. But we understand as Luke writes this narrative, this is personal for him. This is personal for Theophilus, because he is a believer of Jesus too. And these things that he is putting down on paper, he has already believed. And finally, we see Luke writing with a purpose. Writing with a purpose. Look at verse 4. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So Theophilus, you have been instructed of Jesus. And Theophilus, you have believed in Jesus. I write these things that you might know the certainty of it. That this most assuredly is true. How helpful is that for us as you read the Gospel of Luke? Understanding that Luke is writing this with the mindset of confirming in the minds of his readers, in the mind of his readers, yes, what you've been instructed about Jesus, it's true. It's true. Now, you're a Gentile. So these Gentiles, the original audience were Gentiles. So perhaps from Ephesus or Laodicea or Colossae or any part of the Roman Empire. And you remember the early church from the book of Acts, the early church was Jewish. And it spread from Jerusalem to Samaria and Judea. And eventually to the outermost parts of the world. And it is very likely that the first century Gentiles learned of Jesus from a Jew. Many of them heard it from who? Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. That was his calling. The Lord called him to minister the gospel to the Gentiles, to show the light to the Gentiles. And so they have come to trust in Jesus Christ, and now Luke writes this gospel to confirm in their minds that what they have been taught, what they have learned about Jesus, yes, it is true. And so we have this carefully written narrative from an historian's point of view, specifically with a Gentile audience in mind. As a firm believer in Jesus, you can be assured of it. It's true. Are you assured of the message of the gospel? I trust that your study and mine of the Gospel of Luke will build an even greater confidence in what you have already believed. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God, and I thank you for the Gospel of Luke. Oh, I pray, Lord, that you will confirm in us this, that the truth of Jesus and what we have been taught. I want to pray for your people as they go from this place, Lord. They go into a mission field, into a place, Lord, but places where you are not known, where you are not loved, where you are not respected. And oh God, I pray for courage and strength for your people as they go about your business. In Jesus' name.